So over the last number of weeks, we have been studying the parables of Jesus. There are some parables that Jesus teaches that share with us the way that we are called to live. And these stories are crafted and created in such a way to warn us of dangers to stay away from. And then there are some, like the two that we're going to be looking at this morning, are meant to teach us about God's nature and God's work. I mean, both parables that we'll be talking about today set out to teach us what the kingdom of God is like. In these two parables, we're going to learn a couple of important truths. And when we hear these truths, hopefully it frees us to fully and freely live for Him. And so here are the scripture for us this morning from Mark chapter 4. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Day and night, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces a crop on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the head of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So again, once again, Jesus is going back to the farmer illustration, right? Because a lot of the people would have understood this type of language very readily. You know, the farmer goes out into the field and each year and plants their seed. He prepares the ground and he casts the seed, but has no idea why or how that seed produces a crop. The fertile soil and a healthy seed combine to do something that the mind does not understand. In verse 28, where it says that the earth produces the crop on its own, that Greek word that's being used for, you know, on its own is the word automatos, which is automate. That when good seed falls on healthy soil, the crop seems to grow automatically. This is the way Jesus said that it is with the kingdom of God. That you and I, we share the gospel with those who are around us, and then the seed begins to grow. God's Spirit begins to work in the human heart slowly, and it draws the individual to Him. And we see this in our own lives, right? As we expose ourselves to the truth, we find ourselves being changed by the truth. Often we can't explain what's going on within us. Why am I being drawn to God? We didn't cause the growth. God is the one that causes the growth. I mean, consider those who try to who seek to advance the kingdom of God with military force. You know, Christians sought to bring the kingdom of God to others through the Crusades. Muslim extremists tried to advance the kingdom of God through violence and their holy wars. Jesus reminds us that the kingdom does not advance by the force of men, but by the power and the grace of God. So I think there are a couple of important implications that we can find in this passage. The first one is this, that the growth of the kingdom does not depend upon us. The growth of the kingdom does not depend upon us. And I hope you hear that clearly, because if you do, we can all be like, "Oh." Right? It's our job to put on a good VBS, but God is the one that's going to cause growth. You know, the growth of the kingdom of God does not revolve around you and I living a perfect life, or upon us being able to deliver the gospel message without fail. Right? We're simply called to do our part. Our job is to plant the seed, to sow the seed, but God is the one that makes it grow. And so the second point would be, in light of this, we should be relying far more on prayer than on technique. Right? Since God is the one that brings about the change, that brings about the transformation, we should spend more time in prayer asking God to change hearts and minds. And think about this. How much time do we spend in prayer for our friends and relatives who have no desire for the things of God? How much time do we spend asking God to work through this church in our own lives? And if we want to see people brought to faith in Christ, we need to spend more time in prayer with the one who can actually do that, the one who can bring faith to a hardened heart. And thirdly, I think we need to be patient. Right? The farmer plants the seed and then has to wait days and weeks and months for the harvest. They wait through the dry times. They wait through the wet times. They wait through the predictions of great storms that are going to be rolling through. They must wait with the knowledge that they can't take a crop until it's ready to be harvested. I think what this is telling us is that we need to relax and be faithful and trust in God's ability to work. Now, that's not saying that we're called to be passive, right? The passage does not begin with the words, "and a farmer went to sleep." Right? Farmers, I think, sleep very little. A farmer cannot produce growth, but there are things that a farmer can do and needs to do to stimulate growth. And so, like the farmer, we must prepare the ground. And we do this by building bridges with people. Christians cannot merely gather with other Christians in their holy huddles and wait for God to change the world. We must prepare the soil by being with people who aren't a part of the kingdom of God yet. And when we can help prepare the soil of those people who are around us through acts of kindness, by the way we talk, by the way that we show God's love, by the way that we treat our enemies, by our involvement with those who hurt, the people who aren't a part of our family yet, the family of God, they're going to see the way that we're working and we're preparing the soil. You know, I've heard it for years. I remember hearing this in college groups. That if you have no non-Christian contacts, then you really need to extend your circle of friends. Because God wants us to build bridges with others. And we do this in the hope that somewhere along the way that we will have the opportunity to tell these new friends about the most important name they will ever hear about. Yeah, we get to tell them about Jesus. You know, like the farmer, we do need to plant the seed. That the seed may automatically grow when it gets into the ground, but God is calling us to be the ones to get it into the ground. Right? Our job is to share the message of salvation. It's God's job to cause that message to take root and grow in a human heart. And so you and I need to work diligently that wherever we are at, that we are planting seeds as we grow. And whenever there is an opportunity to share this good news of God's grace, we should do so. And then we should pray that God will make it grow. And after we plant the seed, we need to care for it and care for that growing seed. You know, we need to make sure that we weed out those faulty understandings. We need to help a new believer think clearly about what they are learning about. We must defend against the parasites of false teaching. You know, as we have said before, the best antidote to false teaching is solid instruction. In the second parable, Jesus talks about that mustard seed, a small seed that results in a large bush. Some have said that this resulting tree can can grow as large as 10 to 12 feet high. The mustard seed grows quickly, and it's amazing that this little seed can produce such a bush that there would be families of birds resting in its branches. And think about that small seed that Jesus began with. He had 12 ordinary men that became his disciples. Who would have thought that God's message, that God could get his message across to the entire world through these 12 ordinary men, fishermen, tax collectors, farmers, laborers. These were ordinary men, but when they put their ordinary faith in the hands of an extraordinary God, incredible things happened. God can use the smallest of seeds. God can use the most unlikely of people to bring about an astounding harvest. Now, perhaps you feel like there's nothing you can do, that your contribution to the family of God or to the kingdom of God is unimportant. Well, don't look into the mirror, right? Don't look at your size. Don't look at your talents. Don't look at your position. Look at the Father. Realize that God can use you to change the world. You don't know what God can do through your life. When you lay your life in front of God the Father, what God will be able to do through you. And if you do that, God will use you to advance his kingdom. That we may be the smallest of seeds, but in the hands of the Almighty God, we'll never know what he can do through us. It would be very easy for us to conclude that just that little seed wouldn't be able to produce anything. But we would be wrong. And it's easy for us to think that little seed that we plant, you know, that comment we make with others, or we tell somebody about a church family, a church event, that little seed isn't going to be able to produce anything. But when we do that, we're discounting the Lord. You and I don't know what God is going to do through your faithfulness. You don't know how many people are going to be impacted by the simple things of life that we do. We don't know, we never know who's really listening and watching. We don't know what God is going to do through the seeds that we plant. Right? We belong to the God who created the universe, and his resources are inexhaustible. God's ability is unmatched, and he can use us to change the world. I think it's time that we stop looking at our size and begin looking at his. It's time to realize that God can take the smallest of seeds, the smallest of persons, and use them to make an eternal impact. Right? We need to stop asking what we are able to do and start imagining what God can do through us. You know, in management circles, there's all kinds of books out there that will encourage us to think outside of the box. They encourage leaders to see what is not easily seen and to look beyond what is obvious. They challenge us to see possibilities rather than limitations and to look beyond ways, the way things have always been done, to look for new methods and new directions. And in a sense, I think this is what Jesus is trying to say to us through these parables. That he wants us to look at the kingdom of God differently. That we need to stop putting our confidence in our strength and in our ability, and to trust in his ability. You know, this world may not applaud us. The people may not know our names or understand the things that are important to us. But the God of the universe has made us a part of his family. And we are heirs to the King. We are keepers of the promise. We are participants in the kingdom of God. We are part of God's army. And though we are weak, he is strong. And when we stumble, God doesn't. And though we may be confused, God sees clearly. And our task is to rest and remember these things. And if we do, we'll find a new sense of freedom and of the journey that we will be called to. This grand adventure of being a son or a daughter of God. Now, where is God going to take us? Where is God going to take us as individuals? Where is God going to take us as a church? Who is it that God wants us to impact? Where is it that the seeds that we plant, who's going to grow up from those simple seeds? You know, just simply to rest in front of our God and say, here I am, dear God, please use me. Use me as you see fit. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are thankful for you. We are thankful for your promises that are new and rich every morning. We pray, God, that rather than resting in what we can do, and resting in our abilities, Lord, that we would simply rest in you. Open our eyes, dear God, to the kingdom that surrounds us. Open our eyes to the fields that are just waiting for seed to be sown into. And Jesus, we pray that you would use us. Use us, Jesus, to scatter the seed, and Lord, we will do everything we can, but we trust in you to bring about the harvest. Jesus, we love you, and thank you for loving us, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.